Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this mini episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and on today's episode I'm joined by Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters to discuss the London Bridge Experience and Tombs with their returning Halloween event Phobophobia. This time it's Phobophobia 13 and Dan and Jess from UK Haunters went along to check it out. Now myself and Hannah couldn't make it unfortunately this season and last season we got Dan and Jess to do a few awesome scare cam takeovers for us. We're going to do the same this year, but of course COVID hit, it all got weird, it all got strange. They've not been able to go to many haunts at all, unfortunately, because there's not many at all down south where they're based. So we thought we can't do a scare cam from the London Bridge Experience because it's all indoors, you can't take your cameras. However, we can do a mini discussion review episode here on the podcast. So, let's take you straight to it now. Let's welcome Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters onto the Scare Track Podcast.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Right, guys, we are back here at the Scare Track Podcast. And like I said in the intro, I'm joined once again by Dan Brownlee. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
I'm all good. How the Halloween are you?
You know what? I've done all right this Halloween, considering it's been a little bit of a weird year and we're all a little bit concerned that nothing would be open. I know you're a little bit envious, so I do apologise. But I've managed to do a few things. I do apologise. But you managed to get to Thorpe Park as well as similar to me. But you've also done, which is what we're going to talk again today about, is the London Bridge Experience and London Tombs, their Phobophobia event.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if anyone knows, we spoke to Dan for quite a bit now here on the podcast, and he basically filmed a movie called The Tombs, set in the London Tombs and the London Bridge Experience. So I bet it was pretty cool to be back there.
It was very cool, and the coolest thing is, it's completely changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, completely changed.
They're always, it's like every time I go, it looks completely different to what I did last time.
Oh, this is. I mean, I am talking. They gutted everything.
Wow!
And either moved it around, re-seamed, added new bits. I mean, literally, is to the point where you know when you go and buy the tickets, where mm-hmm. you used to go to the museum, and it was this very big, well-lit room with glass
yes,
cases.
Yes.
Well, I went to go straight through the barriers, and the woman's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm going to the museum." She went, "No, the museum's here." So where the ticket booth is, that's now the museum. And I was like, things have changed. She went, yes, things have really changed.
Wow, fair play. Because they've only just reopened, haven't they? They obviously closed back in March when lockdown happened, and they've continued to stay closed up until now. That's that's a good 6 or 7 months. So rather than just chilling out, resting at home all on furlough, they've been working their arses off basically changing the entire place.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, it really changed. It completely threw me how much. I mean, I got this. I mean, I filmed there for a month solid, and then I did prep there for a couple months beforehand. I knew the place pretty well, and I just mm-hmm. had no idea where I was half the time.
Oh, sweet! And it's all changed for the better, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to. Obviously, the thing with Phobophobia is at the moment they have to do the COVID rules, so there's less scare actors involved, but I mean, yeah, is they've really made good of what they've got. Like, that place really made me jump.
Yeah, nice. Well, let's talk about Phobophobia then. It's there, I think, I want to say the 13th year. I might be wrong.
It is the 13th year, and I was really hoping they had a T-shirt. Because I love that logo with the eye, and I was thinking, oh, yes, please have a T-shirt. And they didn't have any guest shop at the moment, so I haven't actually got around to opening it yet, because they've been so busy working on the haunt.
Course, no, totally understandable, that makes sense. So yeah, but yeah, you're right. So it's the 13th year, and I'm looking at the logo now. That is pretty cool, actually. Phobophobia. I'm checking out their website and their Facebook page now, guys, so you can go and do that as well. It's the londonbridgeexperience.com/Halloween, and then that'll bring you up with everything you need regarding Phobophobia. So so give us a little, without giving too much away, Dan, like I say, this is just a little bit of a mini discussion review episode. What kind of things can people expect? What did you expect? What did you experience when you went through Phobophobia at the London Bridge Experience?
Well, things that I experienced many, many things. One was, because I knew the place so much, I was constantly trying to piece it together. I was like, well, hang on, this shouldn't be here, this should be here. Then, because of my love of haunts, I was picking apart the scares at the same time, and also trying to just enjoy the fact that I was actually going through a bloody haunt in COVID-19. Yeah. I was like, oh, thank God there's a haunt that's open that I can get to. It was quite a mixture of emotions going on, but it was pretty solid, man. I mean, it was none of the historical stuff. I've never been to Phobophobia before, because since I've known about the tombs, I've always been in America for the 2 weeks period of Halloween where the Phobophobia's open. But apparently they don't touch you this time. Apparently they touch you in Phobophobia, like jump on you. Obviously, because of COVID, they can't, which Jess was hugely pleased
I
about.
I bet she was, yeah. She turned around to me and said,
if they touch me, I'd have fucking thumped it. No, she is not a fan of being touched at all. So they don't touch you. It is all distance scares, but they've got the classics. They've got the clown with a gun, which got me good. They've got all the tricks of the drop windows, and you know, people can shout at you from around the corner and scare the crap out of you, or as you're walking past, banging on the walls the other side. I mean, they use all the tricks, man. They're so good at it. But it was just a nice, solid haunt experience. You know what I mean? I mean, in all honesty, like, I met James, the manager, afterwards, and he said, honestly, Dan, what do you think? I said, I'd like more scare actors in there.
Yeah.
But you can't, because COVID, and it had been too close. But that was my only gripe with it. But still, man, it was definitely worth checking out. Yeah. Definitely worth checking out. And it's nice to be back there again as well, because I've actually never been through the tombs as a scare attraction.
You've only been through it sort of kind of behind the scenes, well, whilst you're on set, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, not that. Well, I found out about it when I shot a celebrity ghost hunt there.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been 10 years ago. And then I shot another celebrity ghost hunt there. Then I was a press night. I ran a press night. And all the stuff was me either shooting stuff there or pitching a film and being shown around. So I've never actually just flat out gone through it as a haunt. So it was actually really nice just to go as a, like, fully paid for the ticket. You know, didn't like say, hey, I did a film here. Yeah, you have a free ticket. Like, fully paid for it, went there as customers, went through it. So it's really nice to just finally go through it, man.
Yeah, man.
If anyone's in London, I mean, yeah, just do it. What was really nice as well is that me and Jess were sitting in the Creams place afterwards, and Jess was like, is that James? And I was like, James? Who's a manager, and we, he's like, how's it going? We're having a chat with him, and we were saying, oh, it's changed so much. And he's like, well, look, there's a gap between the groups that are coming. We've got like a 15-minute gap. If we slip in now, I could give you behind the tour and just do it between the groups.
Nice.
So he literally took us through the entire new layout of the tombs and deconstructed all, told us what they took from there, what was new, what was old. So we got way more than our money's worth.
Yeah, definitely. That's cool that he took you through as well. It's cool that he took you through as well between groups here, which is sort of have a bit of a behind the scenes as well. Because we like that kind of stuff, don't we? We're geeks for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, fucking love it. And also, it's really cool because it seems so much bigger. And he's like, yeah, well, we've actually used less space.
Really?
Yeah, they've just manipulated the space. And they've got these really creepy long corridors
right
that look proper shining, that when I was walking down it, I was like, this is a Shining. This is what this is. Like, really, really creepy long corridor. And I was like, it's just got massive. He's like, no, it's not. We just redesigned it and used the space more cleverly. That was all it is.
Fair play.
So that blew my little haunt brain as well. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Oh, fair play to you. In fairness, like I said earlier, every time I've gone, it's always felt different. It's always felt new. And this isn't even for the Phobophobia event. Like me and Hannah will probably go every year to every sort of 16 months, depending if we're down in London. And every time we go, we get lost, we go through a different room, we go a different way. So, like you say, the fact that they've, not only they changed it up, but they've managed to do it with using less space. They're just thinking outside the box and being more innovative, aren't they?
And there's a really nice thing where they kind of designed it as, I'm not sure if it's on purpose, but you kind of felt like you maybe had gone the wrong way.
Right, okay.
And because you felt like you'd gone the wrong way, you get even more nervous. You're like, oh shit, should we be here? Since somebody goes, ah, not that, you know, ah, it just like gets you 10 times worse because you're not sure if you're meant to be there or not.
Smart.
That was a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. They brainy little buggers. And that's what started the documentary was these guys, you know, and finding out how they work things. That's what ticked my brain off. And I'm a God, you know, this is amazing. People need to know. So yeah, it was definitely worth going.
Definitely. Awesome. And was it, because like I said, it's difficult because you've actually never been as a customer as such, but whenever we visited, it's kind of split in two parts. You've got the sort of upstairs, the London Bridge Experience bit, which is that slightly more theatrical, more educational-esque, and then downstairs you've got the Tombs, which is basically the full-on scare attraction. Was Phobophobia more so the whole thing from start to finish was the scare attraction? The
whole thing start to finish was scare attraction.
Nice, nice.
Whole thing.
And how long did it last, Randy?
I'm not sure. I think about 15 minutes.
Okay. So a nice amount of scares within 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's 15 minutes. Could be wrong.
But it was good. In fairness, it's sometimes
good.
It was good. The only reason I remember or know how long certain attractions are is because I'm the geek with a microphone and it tells me when I come out. but in fairness, it's a sign of a good attraction when you actually don't, like, you just don't know how long you felt in there. And some mazes can be too long, some can be too short. Would you say this was kind of just spot on?
I think it's pretty spot on,
just potentially more actors if they were able to, if it was obviously COVID's an issue, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean they could, because that's what he's saying. Like, do you know the one thing that did bug me, the revenue really bug me, that I spoke to James about? The rock monster has gone.
Oh, has it?
See, he was like, it was crap, Dan. I said, and it made no sense. And that's why I liked it. Because it's all kind of logical. It's all people killing people or zombies or mutants. And then you turn the corner and there's just this great big bloody rock monster. And I loved it. I said, he's just so out of place. That's what made it so cool. It just made no sense. Why was there a rock monster? Who cares? It's a fucking rock monster. Do we get rock monsters in scare mazes?
In fairness, no. I don't think anywhere else has had a rock monster.
Yeah?
Right. But it's not there. Well, you never know. It might make a comeback.
No. It's not. He told us his whole long story about the rock monster, the origins and everything, which is too long for a mini episode. But yeah, no, apparently it's going.
Right.
I was half tempted to sort of go, I think we could possibly buy it, but we're planning on emigrating, so that's probably not the best idea.
I was going to say, you might not be able to take that overseas. That's a weird thing to check in at customs. Right, okay, let's just check your bag. So, right, you've got a rock monster in here. Anything to declare would make a good episode. Right. I think that's a perfect place to wrap it up then. I'm glad you had an awesome time. You'd suggest anyone else to go and check it out as well, I'm guessing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're in London, go check it out, man. It's well worth it. We're very strapped for haunts this year, and they deliver like they always deliver. So get your Halloween on.
Yeah, definitely. And as far as I'm aware, Phobophobia is back. It's 6 till 10 p.m., and the next nights are the 29th to the 31st of October. This would be
good.
Sorry, go on.
So they have a child-friendly one as well. During the day, I didn't go to that though, so I can't really comment on it. But if you're going as a family, there's a child-friendly version as well.
Perfect, excellent. So is there, if you're family, daytime, if you're adults, evening, go and check it out, thelondonbridgeexperience.com. Dan, thanks for joining us for this mini review discussion about Phobophobia.
Yeah, pleasure as always, man.
Cheers, buddy.
You're listening to Scare Track.
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan for coming on to the Scare Track podcast once again. Sincerely do appreciate it. And also, guys, UK Haunters is out now, available to buy and rent over on Amazon Prime, so go check it out. Really, really awesome documentary. First feature-length documentary showcasing the scare attraction and haunt industry here in the UK. And I even make a little cameo, which is great fun. So yeah, go check that out. Awesome to chat to Dan about Phobophobia. It sounds like him and Jess had a fantastic time. Gutted we couldn't make it ourselves, but fingers crossed for next year. We also get Dan on our next episode. I believe we've been to all the haunts we can go to this Halloween season. Of course, like I said earlier, COVID hit. It got weird. It's got strange. Very few events open this season. We've been to most of them that we're able to get to. And I believe we've brought you all our on-location episode so far, which means that there's actually nothing to discuss as such during Halloween itself. So Dan came up with a fantastic idea to talk all about our movie reviews. Now, if you're fans of the podcast, you'll know previously myself and Dan jump onto the podcast and talk about the haunt horror subgenre movies, things like Hellfest, Haunt, Escape Room, Funhouse Massacre, all that sort of stuff. Houses Octoberville, a personal favorite of mine. He thought it'd be a great idea if we both chose our top four if we were going to have a four movie marathon night over on Halloween. So that's what we're both going to do. We're going to have our marathon nights this Halloween, and we discuss it here on the podcast. So we're going to get him back on, and I'm going to give my four movies and his four movies, and then we're going to ask you guys over on our Instagram page to let us know what your favorite is. Not only that, we're going to talk about what snacks we have, what drinks we have, if we have a takeaway. It's going to be a nice bit of just fun, friendly chat talking about some awesome horror movies. So make sure you check out the next episode of the Scare Track podcast coming out in the next few days, and plan your Halloween movie marathon. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Scare Track podcast. Remember to join us over on our social media, Instagram, chat, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track, and of course everything Scare Track related is over on our website, scaretrack.co.uk.